Tovah, Tikkatevu, meaning may you be inscribed for a good year. Is inscribed where? In God's Book of Life. And if you have made Jesus Lord of your life, then you are in the Book of Life. And every year is a good year when you know where you're going. Hey, welcome to the Shofar Ministries Hour on WHKW Christian Radio. My name is John Bartlett. With your co-host today, I'm your co-host today with our Bible teacher, Sheila Crawford. So get your Bible ready, get a paper and a pen, get ready to take some notes because you're going to enjoy the next hour of learning from God's Word, especially on these last days things. Okay, we're going to start out with prayer. Abba, Father, we thank you for giving us the opportunity again to teach the body about the times we're living in. We just ask that your Holy Spirit is with us as we teach from your word today. We want to lift up all those who send in their prayer requests for healing, for financial aid, for all our needs. We want to lift them up to you because we know you are the author of healing and everything we have comes from you. And we trust that you will answer our prayers. We've seen it done time and time again. We thank you that you're a God that answers prayer. And thank you for being with us today on this nice Shabbat. Amen.
Amen. And thank you, John, and Shabbat Shuvah to you. And welcome back. So glad you are well again. Just isn't the same without you.
That's right. I wasn't here last time, was I?
No.
I forgot.
Well, I remember. So do you want to tell our listeners what Shabbat Shuvah means, since it's a little different than what I usually say?
Yes, it's a very serious Shabbat. It is actually the last Shabbat before Yom Kippur. So it comes between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur.
It's during the High Holy Days.
During the High Holy Days. And it's a very important one, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And right now, Rosh Hashanah is over. And we did a celebration up in Mentor. And right now, we're in the final days of the season of Teshuvah called the Days of Awe. Now, this is the time of the deepest reflection.
Right, these days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and we're going to talk a lot about that actually next Saturday because it will be actually Yom Kippur and the holiest day of the year to the observant Jew. And I believe it will be on a Day of Atonement when the Lord returns to earth to fulfill his appointment with man at the end of the tribulation, at the end of the 7 years. And by the way, we're going to be riding on white horses along with him.
Wow. And just a reminder now, all these teachings are archived on our webpage, with labeling even, so you can glean a wealth of information, seriously, at your convenience.
Right, 24/7, you can't sleep in the middle of the night, go listen to one of my radio programs. Sure to fall asleep, right, John?
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so either.
It might keep you up, though.
Yeah, that's true. Yes, but I really did teach in detail about that last season. That would have been around August, September.
Right.
And I do encourage you to go and listen to them.
And you can also read the very timely newsletters for your information. Sheila tells me she wants to get in as much teaching as possible because this month is probably our last month on the air.
It definitely is our last month.
It definitely is. But check our webpage. We might be doing a special show from time to time as your support comes in. Right? We'll be opening the lines later in the hour for your questions on this topic and end times in general. By the way, Sheila, let's remind our listeners we are having Shofar Assembly tonight, as we do on the second and fourth Saturdays every month, and you always have a great teaching. So.
Oh, well, thank you, John. By the way, if you're out there and you need directions, just call me. My number is 440-834-9006. That's 834-9006. Between 3 and 5 today, I'll be glad to give you the directions. We meet in Burton at 6:30 for Messianic worship by none other than you, John. And, oh, boy, did we have a great Messianic worship last Thursday for the Feast of Trumpets.
Well, thank you. And you know what? You blow a mean shofar. I'm serious.
Actually, I don't think most people know that it's actually me blowing that shofar at the beginning of our show. But it is.
Yeah, and it's live, too. She actually does it.
No, it's
recorded. But that was you. That was very good.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Anyway, since I incorporate our Judeo roots in end-time teachings, I do think it wise for the church, too, at this special time, to inwardly examine our spirituality during this season of end of Teshuvah. In other words, how can we get closer to Jesus? I mean, we know our sins are forgiven because of what he did
right.
on the cross. And all we have to do is ask him for forgiveness, and we should do that every day, of course. But I'm talking about during this season to take a little time and reflect inwardly and see, gosh, I wonder if I could be a little more spiritual.
Yes, you could ask yourself perhaps, are you redeeming your time wisely? What does redeeming the time mean? Does that mean if you're using it, are you using it wisely? Are there idols in your life?
Well, let's just be a little more specific with that, because people are going to think, well, I don't carry a Buddha around with me. But it's more than that.
It's more than that, obviously.
Do you watch TV or other forms of entertainment a lot? Do you do computer games or Facebook or even hobbies more than you study his word?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, that hurts.
Yeah.
Can't you give him maybe at least equal time? How about making the Bible your hobby? It's my hobby.
Well, how about making a New Year's resolution, since this is Rosh Hashanah, New Year, to get closer to Jesus? Are you sure that your salvation is real and from the heart and not just a head knowledge?
Right.
Do you have a head knowledge and that it's not down in your heart?
That's right. And Matthew 7:21 deals with that. You know, he says people are going to say I'm Christian in that day, and he's going to say, but I didn't know you.
Oh, yes. And not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who do what my Father in heaven wants.
And
how
do
you learn
intimately.
That?
Intimately.
Intimately. Yeah.
You've got to be in his word.
Exactly.
A lot.
Yeah.
Not just 10 minutes here and there.
Right.
I mean, really.
If it's not interesting to you, you ask God to make it interesting for
That's
you.
Right.
And he will.
Oh, and it is.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
He might even use a television program just to get your attention on the Bible. And you say, I did that with me with watching
Absolutely.
The Ten Commandments one year. I watched that movie, and there was something in it.
That was one of my favorites.
And I thought, is that really in the Bible?
Yeah.
You know, and so I had to look, and it got me. Yeah,
mm-hmm,
okay.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to read Genesis just so I could see all that, yeah. But
yep.
Here's an area, John, that I think we should probably talk about. It, I think, needs some reflection. And it's in the area of tolerance.
Mm-hmm.
Or compromising the true gospel.
Oh, so are you being tolerant or are you compromising?
Mm-hmm. Either one is not good.
Neither one is good.
Not good.
Not good.
let's look at the Old Testament. I just want to read a scripture in Amos.
Okay.
And it's from Amos 5. I'm going to read 25 and 26. He's saying to the Israelites, did you offer me sacrifice and offerings in the wilderness for 40 years, O house of Israel? 26 says, but you also carried Sikut, your king, and Chayun, your idols, the star of your gods, which you made for yourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, they were doing what they knew they were supposed to do.
Right.
But they were bringing in the other idols. They were adding to what God had done to them. And he says, Nana, that's not good. You know, I am the only one. Don't be adding your idols. And I think of that because we don't necessarily carve images anymore.
Right.
But Christians, I think, are actually bringing idols into their life just with TV or Facebook or anything.
Well, yeah.
You know?
Yes.
Taking up too much of people's time. Let's add a scripture in the New Testament. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6,
okay.
14. And I'm going to read 14, 15, and probably 16.
Okay.
But he says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now, that doesn't mean just marriage.
Oh, it doesn't. Now, I always thought it did. That's what was talking about marriage.
Well, that's certainly part of it. But it goes on to say, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness?
Mm-hmm.
And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? And, of course, that's Satan. Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? We are a temple of God, you know. Oh, that's what it says.
We are the temple of the living God.
As God has said, I will dwell within them.
Yes.
All right, here's the point.
Are you going to stop there?
Oh, should I keep going? And walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people.
Therefore, God says, go out from their midst and separate yourselves.
Oh, yes. That is good, too, isn't it?
Yes.
and do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. Okay, here's the main point.
Yes.
We are not to be unequally yoked and best friends with a person that's not saved unless you really think that you are helping them to get saved.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not always the case, you know.
Right.
In fact, a lot of it isn't. So we have to keep our frame of mind correct.
Mm-hmm.
Our main goal is to make disciples.
Yes.
You do the best you can. And if you have a best friend that just won't listen to you, you get saved and you try as much as you can, and they just don't want to hear it, and yet you continue to do things with them, I think that's not what God prefers. Because then you're going to be doing things that aren't probably the best anyway.
Right.
You know,
right.
Because they're not going to want to do any Christian things or fellowship with other people.
Yeah.
You know? So it's better just to say, you know, I'm going to prefer to go with my Christian friends and do Christian things and fellowship and have Bible study. And if you're doing all that, you really don't have time to go to secular movies and all those things that you used to do.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I don't think we should. There's a lot of us that try to mix our Christian lives, especially when we first start out with our old lives. And is that what this is talking about?
Well, it says not to be unequally yoked.
Unequally yoked.
Yeah.
Now, does this mean you shouldn't link arms with somebody that's praying, that, you know, just in the name of God, and you're saying to yourself, well, this guy, you know, God is God, you know, and I'm praying to, you know, Jesus, but, mm-hmm. you know, this person might be praying to, who knows, you know, to Allah or Buddha or something like that. Is that what it's saying? You shouldn't do that?
I believe it is, because that way I believe when you put the arms together in that, I think you're accepting what they believe, which is not what you believe.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Okay.
So, yeah, there's a problem there.
Yeah, there is.
There is.
There is.
And we just saw that, of course, a couple of weeks ago at the Glenn Beck rally in Washington.
Okay, yes.
And we're going to talk a little bit about that
today. I think
today.
That's what put that in my head, that idea that they were doing that.
They were.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And
not that they were the first to do that, but that gets done a lot, I see.
That's right. And before I'm going to talk a little bit more about that, let's just read one more scripture. Same book, 2 Corinthians, but let's go to 11, verse 4. Yeah, and this fits in here real well.
Hmm.
And again, this is God's word, not my words.
Yeah.
For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted, you may even well put up with it. So he was rebuking them.
Mm-hmm.
Again, this is the Church of Corinthians, so they were, you know, needed this rebuking. But as you call it, the Church of California.
The Californians.
But he's telling them, he's saying,
yeah,
they're preaching a different Jesus, and you're tolerating it. You
right.
don't even care.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the problem. And that's what I think is happening in today's society, big time.
Well, sure.
You know? And
There's the big blend, and I remember this, you telling me coming back from Israel on one of your trips where you were very disappointed to see this big movement over there of it's all one God, you know, and they had bumper stickers that had the crescent for Islam, and it had the cross for Christianity, it had mm-hmm. Star of David mm-hmm. for Judaism, and it said equals,
yeah,
you know,
all one God.
All one God, you know.
Yeah.
This isn't
the same God.
The same God, yeah.
Yeah. And it's not. The God of Muslim is Allah, and it comes from Baal, which is the moon god, and that's Satan.
Yeah. Okay.
You know?
If it isn't God, if it isn't the, we serve one God.
God
know,
eternal, always been here.
Always been here.
And Jesus is one with him.
Hero Israel,
the Holy Spirit.
The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Okay? There are other gods, right? Because he says so in the commandments.
Little g.
Mm-hmm. And that doesn't mean that they don't have powers and everything, but you're going to find
sure.
yourself, and we'll find ourselves in big trouble.
And as our light is getting dimmer, their powers are getting bigger.
Getting, yeah.
The darkness is getting darker.
Oh, thank you for saying that, because
yeah.
that is something, that's a good way of describing what you see happening today.
Yeah. We're being quiet.
Yeah.
We're compromising, we're tolerating, and you know what? I agree with virtually everything that Glenn Beck says about how we have been witnessing the decline of the principles and values upon which this country was founded, and his analysis as to why and how this has happened. And yes, we should return the Constitution to its rightful place in the realms of government.
Mm-hmm.
Restoring honor would be a good place to start. I thought that he was actually the best college history professor that I've ever had, okay? Mm-hmm. I respect his fortitude and determination, and for the most part, how he was keeping his Mormonism on the sidelines. I respected
yes.
that.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it because I know that it is a cult, and in fact, I often wondered if at some point his religion would be used as a snare to pull in others after they begin to love Glenn so much, and now many do.
Hmm.
And again, Mormonism and Jehovah's Witnesses and others have been starting to use the Christian lingo. Actually, it's been for quite some time. They're calling themselves Christian. They're saying the correct words. Like, not only that they're Christians, but like, they believe that Jesus died for me.
Yeah, Jesus died for me.
You know, they're saying
that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I've heard them say that.
If you don't know who their Jesus is or their God is, then you can be duped.
Mm-hmm.
There are major questions that must be asked to all who claim Christianity today. Like, was Jesus created or born or always was God?
Mm-hmm.
Three in one?
Mm-hmm.
Trinity? If it doesn't match what you believe, then they are worshiping another Jesus. And that's what we just read in 2 Corinthians.
So are we are we like the Corinthians? Are we going, oh, hey, welcome.
Well,
you know, are we?
This is what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
You know, but it's a different Jesus. They're false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ when they're really not.
Yes, and then you go on to verse 14, and no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light.
Think of that.
Yeah.
Think of that. Wasn't it the Mormonism Joseph Smith that actually saw an angel?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it was Satan.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Who else could it be?
And then in verse 15, therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness.
Whose end will be according to their works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, here's what I wanted to tell you. I knew the church was in trouble when I read the transcript. Actually, it was a couple years ago now when Mitt Romney was running for president,
mm-hmm.
of an interview of Joel Osteen. Now, I like that guy. He's entertaining, you know. And,
who, Romney or Osteen?
Certainly not Romney. Kind of boring, but
okay.
Joel Osteen.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. Yeah, he is entertaining.
But unfortunately, yeah. This time he disappointed me, and it's not really the first time. There was one other time also, but he was asked in an interview, is a Mormon a true
Christian?
Do you know what he said, John?
Yeah, I've got it here. He said, this is what this is his words. Well, in my mind, they are. Mitt Romney has said that he believes in Christ as his Savior. And that's what I believe. So, you know, I'm not the one to judge the little details of it. So I believe they are.
Are you kidding me? I couldn't believe it when I heard that.
Yeah.
When the Bible's clear, Paul said, make sure it's not a different Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I am deeply concerned that Mormonism may now be on a fast track to be accepted into mainstream Christianity and perhaps even evangelicalism. Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
Evangelicalism, yeah.
I'm not even going to try that one.
No. That this is even conceivable, though, is very troubling.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, and I'm going to give you a couple reasons here, because Mormonism teaches that God was born a man and raised on another planet with many wives that produce spirit babies that are sent to Earth. There they gain bodies and earn sainthood.
Mm-hmm.
They believe that Jesus was also born and the brother of Lucifer, who was chosen to be Savior by a council of gods from other planets. He was sent here from another planet by
this sounds like really, really hokey science fiction is
well,
what this sounds like.
And then this is in the books.
Yeah.
It also teaches that America is the promised land, not Israel. The holy city is Independence, Missouri, not Jerusalem.
There you go.
And Jesus' latter-day agenda is to return to Missouri. And here is why Glenn Beck loves the Constitution so much. They believe that America's founding fathers were spirit babies who created a sacred constitution. And it's as sacred as the Book of Mormon.
So then, what you're saying is the U.S. Constitution is scripture to them?
Yes. And in the latter days, they say, the Constitution will be under siege and will be saved by Mormons.
Wow.
Thus, we must, or they must, reclaim America to save the Constitution and usher in a genuine age of Mormon leadership. They want to build a Mormon kingdom on earth.
Wow. Isn't that something? And that's do you think that's Beck's agenda?
Well, I was hoping that it wasn't. Okay.
Yeah.
And maybe he'll go back to the way he was just teaching.
Mm-hmm.
But when I see how much he reveres the Constitution and believing that it's going to be a Mormon to save the Constitution, I could see why he's doing what he's doing.
Well, a lot of his speeches and talks that he gives are pretty spiritual, I say.
He sounds
like he's preaching in some.
He's always referenced God,
yeah.
But I believe he's always kept it kind of separate.
Yes.
But at the rally. In fact, he made it a point to not have it be political at all.
Wow.
He didn't want it that way. In fact, I understand that he asked some of the Christians, the real Christians, to put their differences aside so that they can all join together as one. And it sounds good, but that's the basis for the one world religion.
Is it possible, and in defense of Glenn, because he is, I've learned a lot like you from him, is it possible to be saved and yet not understand the theology of your religion? In other words, there are Catholics that are saved.
Of course.
And I believe there are Mormons that are saved. I think saved people end up in a Mormon church sometimes because
then they shouldn't be Mormon anymore.
They don't get the teaching that they should have.
Well,
that's why I'm glad
I know
listen,
what you're saying,
you know?
And part of that is true.
Yeah.
It starts off that way. If you were to go to a Mormon service, you wouldn't hear any of this.
Right.
No
exactly.
Way.
Yeah.
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 And sure, and only God knows that, and God knows everybody's heart. It's all up to him, and it's a good thing that I'm not the judge, because no one would be going to heaven.
Well, David wrote in the Psalms, too, if God should count iniquity, none of us would.
Yeah, that's right.
Exactly. So,
but again, you can't stay very long. You have to know what your foundation teaches, and there's so many books out there that say what Mormonism teaches. I mean, you'd have to be like, but their founder, Joseph Smith, had a socialistic philosophy, but within the church, not government. And that's why they tithe so heavily.
Yeah.
Okay? And wish to have a society that shared things in common. Again, I cannot pray together with a Muslim or a Mormon or a Jehovah's Witness, as Glenn expected at the rally.
Oh, at that rally, yes. Mm-hmm.
I know some real Christians did, and again, it is upsetting to me, but it is setting up the one world religion where the woman, Mystery Babylon, rides the beast, or big government, and Glenn can't do much about that because that's written down and it's going to happen.
Well, how else to have a one-world government but then to unite all the religions?
Right,
and say you're all doing the same. We see it, and this is happening right now.
That's why we have to leave, because we would never allow that.
That's right.
There's no way I would allow that.
Right.
But that's why he has to take us out so his word can be fulfilled. People, we're not going to take America back. It's not going to happen. Granted, I believe that there's possibly some pockets of revival that will continue.
Yes.
Thank God for that, because the Holy Spirit's still here. But to say, let's take America back, the whole America, it's just not going to happen.
No.
You know, I'd love for it to, but I believe it's too late. What must we be doing right now? What should we be spending our time on?
Not
going to these rallies. Just think of all the time that could have been used in God's word. By the time you drive or you fly there and you stand out there in the hot sun all that time to watch people hold arms of different faiths and pray to their God, and when you could have spent that time at home reading God's word, it would have been maybe 10, 12 hours at least. Think of that. And that is what's going to give people the power.
And the power and the wisdom, I might add, to discern between good and evil.
So we can tell the lost the truth.
That's right.
You know, instead of sitting back and saying, oh, well, he's a Mormon, so therefore he can do his thing. We're compromising. We're not standing up and going out and saying, wait, let's talk about why you believe what you believe, and let's get the facts together.
Yeah.
Or love.
Yeah, and before you get too involved with anything like that. You find out what you believe.
Mm-hmm.
Find, look and say, why do I believe Jesus is God? Is Jesus part of the Trinity? Find out. Learn. You know, you might be going to it. You might be a churchgoer. Find out what your church teaches.
Absolutely.
You know?
You should always.
You never know.
That.
You know.
Yeah. And you know what? If you're starting off right from the beginning, figure out why the Bible is truth. Go look at the evidence. Do you know how much thousands of articles are written about why the Bible is true?
Well, I know that you tell people that you can prove to them that the Bible is true.
I can. Absolutely.
And how do you do that? Well, that's another
program.
Well, there's
different. Yeah. I mean, there's prophecy. There's scientific evidence. There's medical evidence. There's prophecy is the biggest one.
The biggest one, exactly.
I mean, just
prophecy
that
occurs to the day and hour and minute and second, you know, just like the we were talking about, Daniel.
The last six chapters of Daniel is a mind blower.
Yeah, that is.
If you really pay attention to see the details and the exactness of it.
Yes.
You can't deny that the Bible is written by God when you look at all the evidence. You just can't.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. And, if you're looking through your Bible and you're seeing a lot of what you think are errors or it's discontinuity, and maybe you think this, you might suspect that this is just a fable, don't kid yourself. Every word in it was true. Now, I was saved for a long time, and I thought the creation story in Genesis, how to put it, was quaint, to say the least, because I didn't believe it.
Uh-huh.
But I still believe Jesus and everything. It wasn't.
Why do you think it was so hard for you to believe that God could create like that?
I just don't know. I think it was the time and element, and I think I did study, what they call evolution, and I could just, that kind of thing.
Secular stuff was getting me there.
But, you know, one time I actually saw somebody proved it to me on a video. That there was a flood and that this stuff could have occurred I didn't feel guilty, but it's like when you first meet Jesus and you get saved, I felt convicted. I felt a conviction in my heart and I repented and I said, thank you, Lord, for showing me the truth.
Yeah.
But see, I didn't always believe that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I know when I got saved, it was going to a Protestant church who was talking about the rapture. And I thought, whoa, I sure don't want to miss that. And that's when I started studying the Bible. Up to that point, I was never told to study the Bible, you know. And I'll tell you right there, people, if you're Catholic, read your Bible. You know, the truth is there.
Yeah, remember the Jesus movement of the 70s, the early 70s?
Mm-hmm.
And that was a big part of it. They were teaching that. They were teaching the rapture, tribulation, and all that. Yeah.
That got
a lot of people saved.
And that might be why I teach it now.
Yeah.
It's because I know what it did for me. And I realize it's not for everybody.
Right.
You know, a lot of people don't care about the end times, although I can understand why, because Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. You know, there's a special blessing if you read the book of Revelation.
Yes.
Why would everybody want to at least know what's going on and when he's coming back?
Exactly. Exactly. And people do have questions and they're looking for answers from everybody. But I got to tell you, don't look any farther than the Bible, because that's where your answers are going to be. The more you learn and the closer you get to Jesus, the more you're going to understand about where we are today.
Amen.
You're not going to understand it from some calendar that the Mayans chiseled.
No.
You know, 1,000 years ago. It's not how you're going to understand.
No. So during these really special days, I think it's time for all of us to look inward, find out who's that person maybe that lives next door or down the road that maybe I haven't asked him, do you want to talk about the Lord?
Yeah.
Just ask him. Ask if you can just share some of the knowledge that you have. They're not going to say no.
No,
they're not. If you act in love and say, let's have tea, I'd like to share with you some of the things. What do you think's going on these days?
Yeah.
Ask some questions. You'll get invited.
I used to witness a lot. I don't do it hardly, you know.
But
and because you get out of a habit.
Cares of life are getting in the way.
Yeah. And there are people out there that are looking.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, they still are.
And they still are.
And
people are still getting saved.
That's right. No matter how many times they tell you to get out of their life and don't bother them, there's many that'll say, I'll listen.
Yeah.
You know, we got to get back to what we're doing because we're running out of time, folks.
Hey, we're in the days of awe, right?
That's right. And the Hebrew word for that is Yamin Noraim.
That's it? Yeah.
It's the final days of the 40 days of Teshuvah. Again, the connecting days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. But remember, typology.
Okay.
What's
so,
typology?
So this is a picture of something,
that's
correct?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. To me, I believe that the 7 days in between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and the reason I say that is because Rosh Hashanah lasts for 2 days.
Yes.
One in Tishri 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
Then you start days 3 through 9, and Tishri 10 is Yom Kippur.
Okay.
Those days in between, I believe, is a type of the seven-year tribulation, when repentance is of the highest essence. Because let's face it, if you've been left behind to go through it, you better repent, because you still have a chance of being part of the kingdom.
Yes.
You know, and that's vital.
Don't hang around to find out who the Antichrist is going to be and what the one world religion is going to do.
Although probably you find out pretty quick, but I think if you see the rapture happen, you better get on your knees.
Yes.
You know, and that's why it's so important that we're out there telling people the end times and what is going to happen, because we're still planting seeds. And if they don't want to be part of the bride, for any number of reasons, they think you don't know what you're talking about, or they think you're really nice, but you just got it wrong.
How about they think you're crazy?
Yeah. Well, I didn't want to say that, but that's basically what people sometimes do think you're crazy. But won't it be good for them to at least know, so that when that happens, when the rapture happens, they'll say, whoa, maybe she was right. Maybe he was right.
Right.
And get on their knees and repent immediately, as soon as they do.
And I don't believe that you preach this message because you want to be right. I believe that God has laid on your heart, you know, a love for the lost and a love for the truth, which you have gotten, I think, from studying the Word, which God has put in your heart from studying the Word so much. And you have a passion for truth.
I do.
And this is the truth, and you, I know you get upset when there's false doctrine, because
I do.
Not because it's false, because there's no truth in it.
It's a good thing the Bible says, be angry, just don't sin.
Yes.
Because I do get angry at that.
Yes.
I get livid sometimes. My blood boils.
So, yes, and so, you know, there's, like we were saying, people get saved today. You can get saved today. You may not understand Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Days of Awe.
Right. Might not.
You might not understand the Trinity. You might not understand, you may not have even read your Bible. But you know something's wrong. You know that you have a conscience. You feel bad about things. But we're here to tell you there is a living God who sent his Son to die on a cross and become the sacrifice, his blood, on the altar in heaven, so that you could be totally forgiven for all your sin.
Right. Not only that, you need to know the truth. Just look into it, you know?
Yes.
If you're listening out there today, maybe you just tuned in by accident, you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, find out the truth. If it turns out that you disagree, at least you looked into it.
That's right.
At least do that.
Yes.
Don't just listen to somebody else who tells you, oh, that's just a bunch of bunk. Come on, people. You got to do your own homework.
That's true. Now, you're not going to hear any preaching about eternal separation from God or hell or flames or anything like that these days.
No.
Hardly hear that from anybody.
A lot of people don't even believe in hell.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, but there is one.
There is one.
And Jesus talks about it.
A lot.
Gnashing of teeth, he says. Too.
Yes, yes.
It's there. But so if you're left behind and then you get into the tribulation, you're going to remember what that someone said. Get on your knees immediately. At least you can be a tribulation saint. And by the way, according to what John saw in Revelation, there was so many that he wasn't able to count them.
Yeah.
And I knew he could count because he just got through counting 144,000 Jews.
Right.
Well,
so he must have been a pretty good counter. He had a calculator or something, didn't he?
So those people that say, if you don't receive Christ before the rapture, it'll be too late. No.
No.
He would never tell somebody wanted to receive him. No, I don't think so.
No, it's just not going to be real fun to be a Christian during the tribulation.
No,
you're going to have a big red target on your back.
Yes, and you probably will die.
And you probably will, yes.
But that's okay, because during that season, you'd probably rather die.
Yes, that's
true.
You
know, go right to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Amen to that.
That's how bad it's going to be, folks.
Yes. So, but anyway, this going back to the 7 days, I believe, represents the seven-year tribulation.
Right.
If people don't repent by the time he comes back on a Yom Kippur, then the gates are closed.
Right. And what's the term for that?
Nilah,
yes.
And that means closing of the gates that were opened on Rosh Hashanah, which we talked about I talked about last week.
Yes.
Because the gates are open on Rosh Hashanah, according to Jewish tradition. And the Bible in Isaiah 26 talks about it. It says, open the gates so that the righteous who know the truth may enter in. I believe that's us. But they're closed on Yom Kippur. Well, once Jesus returns in the clouds, which I believe it'll be on a Yom Kippur, those gates are going to be closed.
In the closing comments in the book of Revelation, there's these words, which I believe are Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur terminology. Verse 11 of the last chapter says, whoever keeps acting wickedly, let him go on acting wickedly. Whoever is filthy, let him go on being made filthy. Also, whoever is righteous, let him go on doing what is righteous. And whoever is holy, let him go on being made holy. In other words, there's a cutoff point.
Yeah.
And that is the gates closing.
Yeah. Wow.
Isn't that something?
Yeah. Well, it's sort of like Noah's Ark.
Well, yeah.
There was time for them to go on the boat, but then once it started raining, the door was closed.
The door was closed. That's right. And there's nothing you can't reverse. The prophecy, you can't reverse what God said he's going to do. There's,
right.
You know.
With that said, though, let's make it clear that you keep witnessing to people now. I believe that that door will remain open during the tribulation period.
Yes.
But that'll be your final time.
Yeah.
Just like the high holy days are right now. Because they believe that if they had aught against their brother and they didn't repent of that, by the time Yom Kippur come around, their names will be taken out of the book of life.
That's right. And they still do believe that, by the way.
So there's a connection. There's a typology there of the tribulation period. Because, again, if they don't repent and receive Christ, then their names will be taken out of the book of life during that time anyway.
Wow.
You see how it's a picture?
Yes.
It's absolutely amazing, and that's why I get so excited about Hebraic roots. Because when you start learning their customs and why they did what they did, you see the pictures involved.
Right.
It's just amazing. And it's interesting that the Jews in the Old Testament and still the Orthodox today that are not saved now, remember, I've got to keep clarifying that, do believe that these final days, they've got to, these final days of Teshuvah, they really do need to repent. And they'll go all over the world if they have to, if they remember somebody that they have ought against to get their forgiveness.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? I've read some stories And this one story is he goes from one city to one city, and the guy keeps moving, and he can't find him. And he's looking at his watch, and he goes, oh, my gosh, I only have 24 more hours. I've got to find this guy. I've got to, you know, get him to forgive me. He finally finds him, of course, at the last hour. It's amazing.
Yeah.
But that just shows you how much they take it serious.
Yes. And that shows you, too, how important God thinks our relationships with other people are, too, and how important it is to love.
Well, even in the New Testament, he says, don't bring me your gift if you have aught against your brother.
That's right.
You know, so that's really important.
That is.
And then, of course, that's why it is the common greeting. What is the common greeting during this season, John?
The common greeting is, may you be, what I started the program with, may you be inscribed in the book of life.
Mm-hmm. That's a pretty big deal.
That is a big deal. That is a big deal.
So, from sundown to sundown, on Yom Kippur, which is next Saturday, by the way, so it would be next Friday at sundown to next Saturday at sundown at the close at the Nilah, they would completely fast.
Right. They afflicted their souls. In the Torah, it says you are to inflict your soul, and that
afflict,
means...
Afflict, isn't it?
Afflict.
Yeah.
I knew that. I was just testing.
That is afflicting my soul because I am not a faster.
That means fasting, and that is an affliction.
It is.
It's not fun.
Oh, my gosh. Especially the last few hours.
It sure gets you. I'll tell you what. Every time I've ever fasted, it sure gets you in the spiritual frame of mind, don't you think?
Yes, it's a good thing to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. For a lot of reasons, actually. But Yom Kippur is the only mandatory fast that God required them to do.
That's right.
You know, so they still do. And thank God we have Jesus, so we don't have to, but we have the choice if we would like to. And that's the beauty of knowing Christ, that we still have choices, that we can do the things that we want. But
But let's not mix. Let's not mix the idolatry with our Christianity.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, let's not mix those two. Let's keep them separate. Let's not yoke the ox with the donkey.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk more about Yom Kippur next week, by the way, too. So, but we only have, we do have a few minutes left. I won't talk.
Can we do some news?
About the news,
yeah. Okay.
Things that have been going on.
Yeah, what's been going on in Israel?
Well,
with Israel, I should say. We know what's going on there, but what's going on with it?
Well, I think it's interesting because I've been watching Israel now for a long time, and each president, as he comes into office, he's going to be the one that's going to make that great peace deal. And I remember Clinton's face and his big smile standing with Arafat and Rabin and them all shaking hands at the Oslo agreement.
Mm-hmm.
And that was in 1993. And everybody thought, wow, this is great. This is wonderful. And this is possibly even the seven-year thing that's going to start. You know,
yeah.
There were some people that thought we had entered into the tribulation period and all that, you know. But, of course, we know that wasn't true.
That didn't turn out good.
And although I have to say, I went to Israel the first time in 95, I think it was, and it wasn't too bad. Okay, I think that Arafat had pretty control on the people, his people. He kept them calmed down pretty well.
Yes.
But it only lasted for a few years, and then you slowly saw, again, the terrorism starting to pick up.
Right.
And then by the end, of course, then by the year 2000, it was off. Pretty much full blown again.
Mm-hmm.
So they've been trying another peace deal ever since. And it's been 10 years since that failed, you know, and then Bush tried. He wasn't able to do much. And then
why is it the goal, do you think, of all these administrations, at least the ones in my lifetime, the last, since the Carter administration?
Yes.
I think this was since the Carter administration, was to somehow make a peace deal with Israel and the Middle East.
Well, it's a
why has this
in
been a
hat.
Goal of our country?
It's
this
a feather
is what
in
I,
your hat. That's what it is.
It's a feather in your hat. Okay.
Now, I think it was in Carter's administration that he got the Egyptian
Anwar Sadat.
Yeah.
And he actually
and that was pretty good. Actually.
That was actually good. And yeah. I heard this could be a rumor, but I heard that Anwar was saved. He got saved.
I heard that too. I don't know. Only God does. But who knows?
And he was immediately executed by his own army.
I know.
And
I know.
Which was really sad. But they did have something going there.
Yeah.
You know?
The only one that's going to get rid of evil is Jesus Christ.
That's right.
You know, and they're going to keep trying these peace negotiations.
And you're going to find out how he does that next week at the end of the tribulation. I believe we're going to talk about how he literally grabs evil by the neck and tosses it.
We're going to talk about that next time.
Yes.
You betcha.
He's going to literally pick it up.
Yes. But these negotiations, they're just a ludicrous charade of Israeli and Palestinian negotiators. They don't really have an interest in speaking to each other, but I believe they're going through the motions right now to please Obama.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's pressuring them from, you know, on both sides, you know. But it's just amazing because it's not really the Fatah Palestinians that Abbas runs that's really doing it.
No, it's Hamas.
It's Hamas and Hezbollah, who's run by Iran.
Iran, yes.
That's right. They're the ones, and they say that there's no way that they're going to have peace negotiations.
Well, that's right. And you know their goal is the annihilation of the state of Israel.
Oh, yeah.
That's their goal. They've stated that time and time again. So how do you make peace? You know, seriously, folks, how do you make peace
it's
with
crazy.
Somebody that's going to annihilate you, that's sworn that they're going to annihilate you?
Exactly. They're not making peace with the right people.
Exactly.
You know, it's just, it makes sense.
Yeah, Abbas is that not going,
yeah,
he's not even close to what Arafat was.
I know.
He's not even
Arafat
close.
Arafat had a little more control.
Yes, he had some control.
Definitely did.
Yeah.
But Hamas and Hezbollah actually say that they are going to increase their terrorism each time that they have a meeting, which is supposed to be every 2 weeks.
And that just, you know what that means? That means more innocent blood gets shed.
That's
more
right.
Innocent Israeli blood gets shed.
Murders.
Yeah. And from the rockets or whatever.
Right. You know, it's interesting because the Bible says that even when the agreement is signed, when the Antichrist signs it, that's not going to last very long either.
Whoa,
yeah,
that's right.
There's going to be war. The first couple seals, it's going to be war again.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
So it doesn't last. But the reason it's going to happen is because it is a signal that the tribulation has begun. And the clock starts ticking.
Hmm.
7 years.
Tick-tock.
Now, I believe the peace talks really are a complete scam.
Hmm.
I think we should be talking more about important matters like Iran.
Yes, and you know, with their nuclear reactors and their the fuel, how they've got the enriched fuel, and then got helped out by Russia to get that. And
they did, and who happens to be their ally, which the Bible predicted over 2,000 years ago that they would be aligned together.
They're aligned together. Isn't
and
that
for
something?
The first time in history, Russia and Iran are partners.
Yes, and that makes them partners. Like it or not, Russia is now partners with pure evil, I believe.
Yeah. Well, they always want to rule the world, just like everybody else wants to rule the world.
Yeah.
You know, all the faiths want to rule the world. Mormonism, a Muslim.
Yeah.
You know, everybody.
Islam. Yeah. They are. That's the whole goal of all
and
of them.
And so do we.
Yeah.
But we win. We win. Yes. Yes.
I think our methods are a little. You know, I think
are
a little calmer, but yeah.
But maybe we should be a little more firm.
Maybe we should. Maybe we should take that stand and say, hey, listen, you know, I love what you're doing, but listen, Jesus is not a born individual. Take them to the verse. Show them what firstborn of God means. It's a position. It's not. It doesn't mean he was actually born like one of God's children. And that's archived. We've done shows on that before, what actually the Bible calls him firstborn. That it's a position.
Yeah.
It's a title.
It's a title.
It's not. It doesn't mean that he was.
Correct what the Jehovah's Witnesses say.
Yeah, so you know,
born.
let's find out the Jesus who
right.
you know. Who,
you got to understand. You got to look up. You got to do your homework. Do some research. But when you talk to somebody, you don't have to defend what you know. What you want to do is ask them to show you why they believe what they believe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and take some notes. See what they say.
Yeah,
and then go from there. Let the Holy Spirit guide you, and He will. I guarantee He will. You know, especially if you let them start talking, so that it starts to. You know, they love talking about themselves most of the time anyway. Most people do.
Yeah.
But if you say, you know, I want to know why you think what you think and show me what you believe and how you came to that conclusion. And then I'll show you mine. But one more thing I want to say before we run out of time is that you realize that a couple of weeks ago, we thought that maybe Israel would take out the Bushehr nuclear reactor in that area because Russia was going to give the nuclear rods, two of them. Okay, so we thought, well, they got to do something now.
They got to do something before that happens, because if they do a nuclear strike on this, it's going to spread radiation all over the whole region.
That's right. So we were surprised nobody did anything.
Right.
Of course, that was Obama, too, and I talked about that before.
Yeah, Obama made a sweet deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But now I understand that they are actually moving, Iran is moving other nuclear labs from different areas of Iran to the area of Bushehr. For that very reason, because they feel safe that we won't do anything because of the radiation fallout.
Hmm.
And they're doing that. They're taking advantage of the situation.
And did you think otherwise? You think they wouldn't?
No.
Every time we stall and this is stalled on, that gives the enemy more confidence.
Right. But again, what does Ezekiel say? Iran is going to attack Israel at some point. So they're just getting ready to do that. They're fulfilling prophecy right before our eyes, and yet people tell me they don't want to know prophecy. The other thing is, in Ezekiel it says that I will put the hooks in the jaws of the enemies, and they will come against Israel. Well, Israel has been discovering numerous gas and oil wells.
Now, you always said they would.
Yes.
I mean, 20 years ago, they weren't. They weren't known as a land of oil.
I know. And so that's the hook.
Okay.
And it's happening right now. And the other thing is that we're being threatened. This Imam Ram says if we don't let the mosque go up, there's going to be trouble brewing. So they're threatening us and terrorizing us. And I think people are afraid.
Yes.
That's why they're letting him get away with so much.
Oh.
Ooh, these are tough days, John.
These are tough days.
That's right. But you know what? We got to close.
We do have to close. I got to close this thing right here. You know, how many minutes do we have? Do we have to have time to ask people about,
yes,
do they know the
go
Lord?
For it. We got one.
Okay.
Minute.
If you've never made Jesus Lord over your whole life, maybe you're concerned that you might be one of those who only have the head knowledge of him and not really the heart conviction. Get on your knees right now, please, and repent, particularly of those sins which seem to be lingering in your life. Then commit or recommit your body and your soul and your spirit to Yeshua the Messiah. But still, it's your choice to choose him. and thereby make it your decision where you want to spend eternity. That's your decision. Remember, God doesn't send anyone to hell. We decide ourselves where we're going to go and where when we die.
Right.
Because the soul never dies, and it has to go somewhere.
Right.
And unfortunately, there's only two places it can go. It's either going to be with God or with Satan. You decide, okay? I know you'll make the right decision. I hear the music now. Do you have a question or for Sheila, or you'd like to have Sheila speak at your church or group? You can email her at sheila@shofarministries.net. Any donations are extremely important and vital to this Hebraic Roots ministry. Please consider being a seed partner in this endeavor. You can use PayPal or send your gift to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton, 44021. Okay. We're going to end with the Aaronic blessing. Yivrechacha Adonai v'yishmarecha, Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'hunecha, Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Shalom till next week.
Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the right-hand side of the screen, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the Internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, sheila@shofarministries.net. That's sheila@shofarministries.net. Please join us next Saturday at 1 p.m. for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program is sponsored by Shofar Ministries.